Welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here. I want you to know I'm honored by your presence. And I thank you for your role in the creation of the John G. Habern II Initiative for Excellence in the Federal Judiciary. First and foremost, let's thank John Habern. Thank you for his infectious passion for you and for me, for his life and his work. We're here today because he made us better, because he loved us, and he lived justly in mercy and passion and humility. He touched us all, just as he was deeply touched by all of us here today and so many others. Through continued collaborative conversations, this initiative grew better and more comprehensive, and as you'll hear today, has continued to grow with more programs. So as his wife of nearly 39 years and the mother of our beloved grown sons, and as the chair of the Board of Advisors, it is my pleasure to announce to you today the formation of the John G. Habern II Initiative for Excellence in the Federal Judiciary. The Habern Initiative is a nonpartisan national resource for the federal judiciary, citizens, students, and scholars. Thanks to the extraordinary vision of people like President Eli Capilouto, Mike Ritchie, I know you're here, thank you, Dean Terry Birdwhistle, Deidre Skaggs, Daniel King, Dean Brennan. This national treasure is located at our very own flagship university, UK. Thank you for making Kentucky a leader in the nation. I'm especially grateful to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, a dear friend to John and me for over 40 years, for being here today. His guidance, support, and direction, perhaps more than any other person's, inspired me to carry on and provided me with frank guidance and direction that made every component better and stronger. The Habern Initiative would not have happened without his tireless energy and support. Thank you. The Habern Center was inspired by John Habern, but now it is yours. Representing the 14 U.S. District and Circuit Court judges here today and those of our nation who will participate in the Habern Initiative conferences, our Chief Judge Karen Caldwell of the Eastern District, please stand. And Chief Judge Joy McKinley of the Western District, please stand. And Judge David Hale of the Western District, who has agreed to sit on the advisory board. And could you all please stand? All of you federal judges, please stand. I was blessed to have lived in love with John for nearly 40 years, and after his untimely passing in April of last year, I began the process of going through his chambers, drawer by drawer, file by file, but I was amazed by the enormous depth and breadth of the files he kept on the 7,654 cases over which he presided as an Article III judge. On the marriage equality case alone, I found 26 drafts of his opinion, representing how hard he labored to get this issue right, which affected so many in such a deep way. There are many notes of his discussions with the law clerks as well as your photos and bios, and a compendium of all research materials, copies of the memorandum opinions, and news articles. Could the law clerks please stand and be recognized? Serving in the judiciary requires an enormous intellectual curiosity, a passion for the rule of law, and a respect for every case that comes before you. Like all of his esteemed colleagues, many of whom are here today, John's archiving practices were remarkably thorough and detail-driven. None of it should be dispatched to a basement. It needs to be shared and seen. So this is when the Habern Initiative realized its mission, to become the repository for the archives and contextualizing oral histories of all Kentuckians who have served or will serve in the federal judiciary, including, of course, the United States Supreme Court. So when change happens in our nation, it often happens right before our eyes. A debate on the Senate floor, an election. But when change occurs in the third branch, it's more opaque. This body of transcribed, digitally accessible material will allow researchers and citizens to pull back the veil on change that occurs through the federal judiciary. Dr. Terry Birdwhistle, our own nationally acclaimed oral historian and scholar, tells me we're building a treasure trove that'll be the envy of such scholarly programs and universities around the nation. Thanks to Jim Duff, the executive director of the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts, and Judge Jeremy Fogel, the director of the Federal Judicial Center, we have a landmark agreement to establish an ongoing speaker and conference program for the Habern Initiative. Hosted by UK and the College of Law, it will draw judges and Supreme Court justices to Kentucky to participate in programming intended to consider timely legal issues and to interact with students and faculty. By focusing on relevant topics and to interact and providing seminars and speakers of exceptional quality, the Habern Initiative will be distinguished as a leading resource to improve the quality of the judiciary. There are a few more thank yous. They'll be brief, but to Wayne Anderson and Sheila O'Brien, they first suggested to me to reach for the stars. Thank you to Russell Coleman, former legal counsel for Senator McConnell, who persevered with me to create a governance agreement that UK and all partners support. To our two wonderful sons, Will Habern and Jack Habern, and to Eric Olson and Leo Corbett, who worked tirelessly to help improve and more clearly define and articulate the initiative's missions. I'm talking maybe 30 drafts sometimes, right? We even gave John a run for his money. So if you would please stand, Eric, Jack, Will, Russell, Leo, and be recognized. Thank you to the Community Foundation of Louisville, who will assist us in privately raising and managing funding for the initiative and has already provided tremendous support. And to the many donors so far, including a family foundation in Chicago that provided our first lead gift. Now that's a tough one to do, right? Along with that, they gave us strategic advice and direction that improved the structure of the initiative. Aetna CEO Mark Bertolini spearheaded the second lead gift. David and Betty Jones Jr., David Jones Jr. and Mary Gwen Wheeler, the Brown-Forman Foundation, Mac and Eileen Brown, Francis Habern, William Alden, and George and Laurie Veith. Thank you all for your support and belief in this vision, and perhaps me at an early, early stage. So now it is my profound pleasure to introduce a man of vision who's transformed UK and been an ardent supporter of this initiative, President Dr. Eli Capiluto.
Dr. Habern, you're so gracious in thanking everyone here. I want to be the first to thank you because it's your vision, your love for your husband and everything he stood for that brought us all here today. So thank you. So it is a pleasure to join you to announce and celebrate the indelible mark that will be made on the University of Kentucky with the establishment of the Habern Initiative for Excellence in the Federal Judiciary. And many people have been thanked, and I want to add one to that list. When you're president of a university, you rely heavily on your chief academic officer, Tim Tracy, who worked behind the scenes, who had a deep commitment to getting us to the finish line. I thank Tim. Now, our state is known for its spirits and horses, but there's something else that is sometimes overlooked, and that is our tradition of contributing extraordinary public servants to the nation, especially in the judiciary. Though we're small in population, think about it. We've given to the country Henry Clay, four vice presidents, President Lincoln, First Lady Mary Todd Lincoln, several Supreme Court justices, and federal judges. And today we add to that legacy. And the importance of this announcement today is twofold. First, the university is proud to honor the legacy of astute jurisprudence and public service by Judge Habern. His contributions to legal doctrine, ensuring fair and equitable application of the law, are renowned and far-reaching. And our dedicated faculty and staff in UK libraries will be able to maintain and are up to the task of preserving this precious record, making it available as a resource for study and further understanding by scholars and students alike. Second, as the home of the Habern Initiative, the University of Kentucky is enhancing and extending its capacity as a place of knowledge, discourse, and service. Now, we often frame our work in teaching, research, service, and healthcare as a university for Kentucky. And today underscores that mission. But today's announcement goes far beyond our borders. It has national significance, because more than a center and a place for historical records, the Habern Initiative has a living purpose to serve, build understanding, and better the judicial system of the United States. The mission and programs of the Habern Initiative going forward will support scholars and jurists for decades to come. The Habern Initiative will be unique in the nation, enhancing the public's understanding of the third branch and how the three branches, executive, legislative, and judicial, interact. I want to thank Dr. Habern and the Habern family for the trust they have placed in us to be the good and worthy stewards of the legacy left by Judge Habern. We will not fail you. And I want to thank Leader McConnell, one of Kentucky's venerated public servants, for your support and leadership in bringing the Habern Initiative to the University of Kentucky. It's just another manifestation, the extension of your many years of support of this flagship university, and we are grateful, sir. Together, Dr. Habern and Leader McConnell, alongside representatives from our College of Law and our UK libraries, are preserving the importance of Judge Habern's life and work in a way to provide for the education, understanding, and continuing development of the judicial system. So it is an important day for the University of Kentucky and the many who will be served and reached by the Hebron Initiative for Excellence in the Federal Judiciary. Today, we light an internal flame of knowledge in honor of character, wisdom, and service. And the University of Kentucky is proud to be a keeper of this flame. Thank you.
Thank you so much, President Capiluto. You're inspiring us even more. I'm especially honored to have our own Senate Majority Leader here today. We wouldn't be here, nor would the Hebron Initiative be as strong and comprehensive had it not been for your enthusiasm and generous and frank guidance and direction. So if you would please join me in welcoming Senator, our own Kentuckian, Senator Mitch McConnell.
Well, as you can imagine, when Martha first mentioned this project to me, I was struck by two things. First, it was, of course, the perfect way to honor the life and legacy of the remarkable man who inspired it. Second, that if Martha was behind it, it would, of course, exceed beyond all expectations. Hardly a year later, I'm here to note for the record that it has indeed exceeded beyond all expectations. Congratulations, Martha. So I'm honored to be here. John was a dear friend, a man I deeply admired. His easygoing nature and personal warmth belied a fierce intellect and a ferocious competitiveness. So I think he, more than anyone, would appreciate the extraordinary feat that Martha and her team have pulled off here. Jim Duff will say a little more about that in a moment. But the bottom line is this: the initiative we're announcing today is entirely unique among independent centers and U.S. law schools. And it instantly makes Kentucky a focal point for the nation's judges and justices who, while at UK, will interact with students in ways that we know will inspire them. As a sign of its reach and significance, I'm pleased to announce that the Chief Justice of the United States will be one of the first speakers in this initiative. When I called him earlier this year to talk to him about it, the first thing he said was he remembered Judge Hebron very well as a judge of genuine distinction. And he didn't hesitate in accepting my request that he come down and underscore the significance of this project. As a final point, Judge Hebron was many things: a distinguished jurist, a cherished mentor, a gifted teacher, a beloved father and husband, and a friend to many, including all of you in this room. But he was also really proud to be a Kentuckian and deeply committed to the task of conserving and enhancing its native riches and talent. So, there you have it, my friends. This is a remarkable achievement and gift to the university. It would not have happened but for Martha Hebron, who brought her inspiration and her love for John together to make this lasting contribution to the Commonwealth. And Martha, I can't thank you enough.
Thank you very much. It's a great personal pleasure to introduce another friend of 40 years, Jim Duff, Executive Director of the Administrative Office of the United States Courts. He is a UK grad and was a walk-on player in the 71-72 basketball team. Please welcome Jim Duff.
Thank you very much, Martha, and President Capiluto, Mr. Leader, distinguished guests, and members of the federal judiciary who are here today. What a special occasion. I'm so grateful to be included in this special day for UK and the Commonwealth and our country, because what Martha has initiated here with this initiative is something that will contribute greatly, I think, to the future of our country and the independence of the judiciary. Last night at dinner at the Hayburn home, Marcia so graciously hosted a few of us who were behind us, supporting her all the way. Will and Jack Hayburn spoke very eloquently about their father, John. And Will, your remarks were great, but I'm going to quote Jack. because I only have a few, 2 minutes to speak. But Jack said that for all of the reasons those of us involved and behind the creation of the Hayburn Initiative, the reasons why we did so, above all was the fact that we were John's friends. And it's certainly that spirit of friendship with John that moves me most here today. But it's also heartening to see, as the leader just so eloquently expressed, the confluence of all the things that John held dear, most dear to him, his family, his love for UK, and his devotion to the judiciary. John's career in the federal judiciary was the manifestation of an independent judiciary, both on and off the bench. You're most familiar with his very thoughtful decisions, well-researched and carefully crafted, as Martha articulated. But just as important as his work on the bench and his decisions were his administrative efforts through our judicial conference committees and the multi-district litigation panel. John understood that if we did not administer the third branch of government diligently and properly, it would be left to the other branches of government to fill in the gaps and do so. And that would eliminate what is arguably the most important distinguishing factor in our form of government, and that is an independent judicial branch. Before the Administrative Office of the Courts was created in the 1930s, the Department of Justice and the executive branch represented the judicial branch in matters before Congress, and that was an obvious conflict that had to be corrected. And it was through the creation of our administrative functions within the branch. But if we didn't administer them and pay careful attention to them as John did, we would lose that element and the independence of the branch. Although regretfully, we will no longer have the benefit of John's wisdom and courage through his future opinions from the bench, through this initiative, we can continue to work on ways to improve the efficiencies in the judicial branch, something John was deeply devoted to. And we look forward to participating in programs and public forum to address challenges we face and to educate both the students here at UK and the public at large, and to work with judges from around the country, as we do in other forum around the country, about the importance of the independent judiciary. The first program we're working on will be devoted to judicial courage, and John was certainly the embodiment of that. It's a great privilege to be with you here today. We look forward to this wonderful initiative with our beloved UK. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Beautifully put. Our next speaker has been instrumental in creating a partnership with the Heyburn Initiative that will ensure that these visions, the vision of the initiative, will be expressed on campus through the conferences, student and faculty interaction at the College of Law. So please welcome our own College of Law, Dean Brennan.
Greetings. I'm David Brennan, Dean at the University of Kentucky College of Law, and I would like to thank you all for coming out this afternoon to share in this momentous occasion. The University of Kentucky has received an important and unique gift, which will greatly benefit both UK law and the entire University of Kentucky community. As a result of this generous gift, students, faculty, alumni, and all who care about UK will have an unprecedented insight into the inner workings of the federal judiciary. I want to begin with a special thanks to Dr. Martha Heyburn for this remarkable gift. As you can see, if she wants it to happen, it will happen. Thank you for allowing UK to share in this continuing legacy of your husband. Also, to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, a UK law graduate and a member of the UK Law Visiting Committee, thank you for your continuing support for this law school and all that you do for the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The Heyburn Initiative, a collaboration between UK libraries and the College of Law, will enhance students' education in some very, very distinct ways. First of all, the Heyburn Initiative creates a new lecture series at the law school called the Honorable John G. Heyburn II Lecture Series. The new lecture series will stress the importance of the role of the federal judiciary in providing regular opportunities for students to directly engage distinguished jurors from across the nation. The series will annually bring to the College of Law speakers of the highest caliber and build on Judge Heyburn's legacy, a member of the UK Law Hall of Fame, by bringing people together to focus on issues of seminal impact. The Heyburn Initiative also creates the Honorable John G. Heyburn II Conference, which will be housed within the College of Law. In concert with the Administrative Office of the United States Courts and the Federal Judicial Center, the College of Law will serve as the host and organizer of conferences and training sessions for federal judges, administrators, and staff. Selected speakers and participants of both the lecture series and the conference will be encouraged to engage with UK law students in the classroom and also participate in ancillary social and educational events. I hope you feel, as I do, that this gift will help further distinguish UK law from other law schools across the nation. Our students will have the opportunity to hear firsthand from some of our nation's thought leaders in law, including distinguished members of the judiciary and lawmakers. The College of Law will be the only law school in the nation to house this type of conference and one of very few to offer this type of access to speakers of the highest caliber on an annual basis. The Heyburn Initiative Speaker Series and the Court Conference supports the College of Law's mission and strategic plan goals, including preparing our students to be lawyers and leaders to serve the country and the Commonwealth in contributing to the high-quality program of legal education that UK law has to offer. We are also pleased to have the privilege of engaging in an interdisciplinary effort with UK libraries under the leadership of Terry Birdwhistle through the Honorable John G. Heyburn II Archives and Oral Histories. Judge Heyburn's express purpose and leadership in the federal judiciary and every day in his courtroom was of, quote, ever improving the legal system considered the envy of the world. I believe the Heyburn Initiative will continue to do just that and is a fitting tribute to Honorable John G. Heyburn II. Once again, thank you to Dr. Heyburn, members of the Heyburn family who are here with us today, Leader McConnell, President Eli Capiluto, Provost Tim Tracy, Executive Director Jim Duff, and Dean Terry Birdwhistle for making all of this possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Next, I'm happy to introduce to you Deirdre Skaggs, Associate Dean, Special Collections Research Center at UK Libraries. And I will tell you that Deirdre has been with me since I was pulling out those drawers last summer in John's chambers. And she immediately set about to engage with me. I interviewed archivists, but her enthusiasm was so instant and tangible, and the support system and structure of UK so outweighed other entities that we interviewed that it was clear that this collection belonged at UK. For that reason, as well as Eli Capilouto's vision, John Hayburn had his inspiration from here and attended here and was in the Hall of Fame. So her enthusiasm, her instant, tangible enthusiasm fueled me in the early days, and it helped it to grow into the national resource that it is now. Deirdre?
Hello, everyone. It's an honor to be here today, and I'm so excited from where we've come, and I'm happy to represent the University of Kentucky Libraries. On September 21st, 2015, I traveled to Louisville, Kentucky to meet with a potential collection donor, Dr. Martha Hayburn. While she showed me the papers of her late husband, Judge John G. Hayburn, we had a conversation about his career and how it was reflected in his archival records. But we also talked about the intrinsic qualities that made him an amazing teacher, a valued friend, an incredible husband and father, and a judge whom sought to ever inspire, to improve, and to always believe in discourse. Dr. Hayburn and I explored the significance of preserving Judge Hayburn's papers and making them available to students and scholars. That to do so would continually renew Judge Hayburn's conversation about the legal system to further inspire law students, educate citizens, and to shed light on how the third branch of government operates. Importantly, the archive will foster the spirit of Judge Hayburn's beliefs. We talked about a lot that day, and it didn't take long for us both to realize that Judge Hayburn's legacy was meant to be much greater. So what started that day as a conversation about a single collection has grown to more completely encompass the ideals of this man as a citizen and as a judge. Thanks to the efforts of Dr. Hayburn and everyone who believes in the principles that Judge Hayburn stood for, UK Special Collections Research Center will be hiring an archivist to process Judge Hayburn's collections, to conduct oral histories with those who knew and who worked with him, and to make all of these materials available to the public. UK Libraries will create a nonpartisan archival center devoted to the preservation and study of U.S. judicial history, with a particular focus on Kentuckians' contributions to American legal discourse. As the premier archival repository in the state, we will honor and perpetuate Judge Hayburn's fairness, his respect for people, and his commitment to thoughtfulness and a continued conversation through archival collections and oral histories. Thank you all.
Thank you, Deirdre. You know, I consider everyone here a special guest, but I have to tell you that I noticed three really special guests here today, and I'd like them to come join me. Tommy Schrefferman, Adam and Owen Maluish. You come stand with me. All right. You'll see why in a minute. We're closing really now, but what I wanted you to know is that John loved his city, his state, and the nation, and he was determined to make ever better the legal system he considered the envy of the world. The Habern Initiative was inspired by John Habern, but it is yours now. It belongs to all the judges whose collections will be centralized here, all the researchers who can access these materials, the law students who will interact with and be inspired by the judicial figures they meet here, and our Kentucky citizens and young people, school children maybe, who will see this vast body of individuals, and I hope and I think they might perchance dream that that could be me. So thank you all for your love and your support and for attending this exciting announcement today. You're all invited to the federal courthouse nearby, where the Eastern District is generously hosting a reception. God bless you all. God bless our Commonwealth, this initiative, and the United States of America. Thank you. Thank you for coming up. Thank you, dear. It's yours now.